I'm Stephanie Mavronis, producer for The Mark Steiner Show. Last week, I visited my alma mater, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, better known as UMBC, to talk to a special group of people about an exciting thing happening on campus this week called Critical Social Justice Week. It's a series of events, workshops, and talks revolving around this year's theme, creating brave spaces. UMBC's Critical Social Justice Week meets students, staff, and faculty where they're at in their thinking about social justice, from those who might be uncomfortable with it to those who participate in activism around it. The events are models to other universities, organizations, and communities, but many of the events happening this week are also really interesting and open to the public. I met UMBC Women's Center Director Jess Myers, Women's Center Coordinator Megan Togley Adams, UMBC Student Organizer Amelia Meeman, and Assistant Director of Student Life, Cultural, and Spiritual Diversity Lisa Gray in the Women's Center, a special place on the UMBC campus located in the Commons that's open to all who respect the experiences, stories, and potential of women. Here's our conversation.
I'm Amelia Meeman. I am a senior at UMBC, and I am student staff at the Women's Center. Critical social justice is something that I had thought of when I was just an intern with the Women's Center last semester, and it was basically coming out of this idea of wanting to engage all UMBC students in sort of an interdisciplinary approach to social justice, but also kind of challenging mainstream social justice movements as well. I wanted to empower students of all disciplines to engage in social justice dialogues on campus.
And what has the reception been like?
It's been really great. So we've had a lot of growth over the year. We planned for it to be annual, and so far we're in the second year of it. And we now have a Critical Social Justice Student Alliance, which is a group that I had been starting since the first one and wanted to create some sort of sustainability. We keep getting more and more members, and they want to be super, super active in the UMBC community, but also in the Baltimore City community, which is really great and something that you don't often see at UMBC. So this is really awesome, and I'm super excited for that.
And I'm Jess Myers. I'm the director of the Women's Center. I think what has been great, too, is that, at least in the Women's Center, that we are gaining new community members, people who might have not thought the Women's Center is a place for conversations outside of just feminism or women's issues, but really for us to think about social justice is feminist work, and social justice revolves around women's issues. And so it's opening the door for students who might have not otherwise found us. And so it's giving them a different community, and it's expanding our community to include more voices and different perspectives, which has made us stronger as a community here on campus.
And so what kinds of new conversations do you think have started happening outside of the things that people typically think of the Women's Center being for?
I'm Megan Togley Adams, and I'm coordinator of the Women's Center. One of the big differences that I've noticed is that there are fewer people asking, like, why is the Women's Center even involved in this? And people are really starting to be more intentional about thinking intersectionally and not reducing everything to gender and saying, well, women experience this. They're really starting to question, okay, well, which women do we mean when we say women? And also starting to, what I've seen is have a little bit more of that action-oriented piece as well, and not just thinking in the abstract, but really thinking about, well, here's how I've seen these dynamics play out in my student orgs, here's how I've seen it in my family, and here's how I'm thinking about maybe approaching the conversation as it continues. So not just being passive observers, but really, again, that dynamic engagement that Amelia was going for, I've seen a lot more of.
And how has the Mosaic Center been involved in this and other aspects of campus life?
I'm Lisa Gray. I'm the Assistant Director of Student Life for Cultural and Spiritual Diversity at UMBC. Because of the generous friends in the Women's Center, we were invited to be co-coordinators, co-partners, after both Amelia and Megan got the idea off the ground and really fleshed out the structure. And I think that's exciting because for us in Student Life's Mosaic Center, it's really helping us to realize a shift in our mission from doing just, say, diversity education and inclusion work to more doing social justice education and activist work. And I think that is in line really with where the field of within, higher ed, diversity and inclusion kind of morphing more into social justice. And so it's enabling us to do that in a really lovely way and in partnership with a long-term partner on our campus. So we're really able to have a greater reach, I think, through the partnership.
And can you talk a little bit about some of the events that will be happening this week on campus?
Obviously, our keynote lecture is going to be with Francesca Ramsey, or Cheska Lee. She's a vlogger on YouTube, and we're really excited about that. She's coming in specifically to talk about sort of the idea of new media and social justice activism and how we can enable new dialogues through sort of the internet and everything that it comes with. So we're very excited for her to kind of talk. Her lecture title is actually Your Powerful Online Voice, Social Media for Social Change. I know there have been a lot of dialogues on campus that I've heard about sort of this idea of Slacktivism, especially in regard to Ferguson and things that really have affected the UMBC campus. So I'm excited to hear what she says about maybe not necessarily Slacktivism, but about enhancing social justice activism through all social media spaces and the internet and the capacity that it has for change.
Which is really exciting because it ties in really well with the theme of critical social justice, which is creating brave spaces. So often I think there's a rhetoric of specifically online of either engage and be the trolls and just take over the message boards or totally disengage and don't participate. And there loses a lot of middle ground of how people can participate online and change their culture, educate their peers, and really create social change that can really be happening online. That's part of what the theme is really about in regards to creating brave spaces, whether it's online or in our classrooms, in our families, in our friendship groups. So it's great to have Francesca starting us out so early in the week to continue that conversation that we'll have in many of our other events around brave spaces and how can we show up and be brave in social justice conversations and dialogues.
Early in the week, we really want to, through the Mosaic Center, have a something that's an opportunity for people who may be kind of just delving into social justice work, education, or activism to kind of have a real kind of experience with some aspects of it. For instance, privilege, we know, is an extremely important thing to understand as it relates to doing social justice work, activism, and certainly education. And so we'll be doing Invisible Privilege Made Visible, an activity that'll be on Main Street. It'll be an opportunity for the whole community to come together actively to engage with, you know, a concept that is really murky and hard for us to understand, but is so critically important in order to do social justice work and activism, certainly in a way that is mutually respectful and impactful for all communities, particularly intersectionally.
That leads into the next question I wanted to ask, which partially it draws on my own experience as an undergrad here at UMBC. And when I think about my time here, it was like really a time that I first became exposed to what social justice really was and looking at things through this lens of critical race or gender theory. And part of that came from a couple classes that I had in poli-sci with Dr. King Meadows and in the Gender and Women's Studies department. But the other big part of that was online and like reading essays and blogs that helped me look at pop culture and politics and other things in a totally different way. I had a couple of questions that kind of come out of that experience. One, I think UMBC is a place that encourages those kinds of conversations and supports people cultivating that level of analysis about different things. And I wanted to know what your thoughts were on UMBC kind of being the host of something like this. Is it in a unique space to do this kind of work?
I do think that UMBC has a unique opportunity to be somewhat at the forefront of some of these conversations because of how social media savvy our students are, and that we have particularly a lot of students in our Women's Center community who talk about how they really came to social justice engagement through Tumblr and Twitter. And we also have this opportunity to then push them a little farther as well, because I do think that sometimes people can become passive consumers just through social media and take a post that they saw on Tumblr as gospel rather than really thinking critically about it and engaging with different sources, and then also taking those conversations into real life and seeing how they can take the theory into practice. And I think that our students really are ready for that and ready for that little push.
UMBC is particularly positioned to do this work given the history of our university, being founded in 1966 during a time of major civil unrest, not only in this area, but across the country. Given that we have a unique history in terms of how we even came about as a university, right? So because of that, now we are at this moment in time where there's been all these shifts around what social movements look like, what social justice activism is looking like from a social media standpoint, but it's giving our, say, other community members beyond students, faculty and staff, for whom in many cases they've been here several decades and remember the founding of the university, this opportunity to rethink and reimagine how activism and social justice can happen online as well as in person in ways that we have historically known it to be true. So it's a really exciting time to have some intersectional things happen around social justice from a generational standpoint on our campus, and we're going to learn, I think, as a community, a whole lot from each other as a result.
As a person who has constantly had their mind blown at UMBC because I'm a gender and women's studies major and, like, I work in the Women's Center, and this is a place of, like, extreme intellectual growth and, like, really challenging myself and others around me and, like, being encouraged to do that, I'm very hopeful, and I think that maybe this conversation is perfectly encapsulated in the theme that we chose of creating Brave Spaces, of this idea that Brave Spaces aren't necessarily, like, a room or a classroom, but can also happen online. And I think that, particularly at UMBC, we have such great programs here that sort of welcome people to open their mind to different ideas, that creating Brave Spaces is a really great opportunity for that sort of interdisciplinary, really creative understanding of, of social justice activism, really. And it's exciting.
I think an example of that, too, is an event that we'll be having on Wednesday. It's a faculty panel on social justice pedagogy, tensions, triggers, and teachable moments. And that conversation is really coming out of a lot of the attention that academics have been debating, where trigger warnings kind of were being generated on the internet and students were coming to expect them and now expecting them in classrooms. And so what does it mean to have a safe space for learning in a physical classroom, and how might that look different from online? Or are there actual really good lessons and best practices that we can take from the kind of engagement that's happening online, and how particularly marginalized students are able to have conversations and difficult conversations in ways that they might have actually been excluded from had they not been properly prepared? So we have several faculty members from different disciplines who are going to be talking about that. So I think it's a good example of the way we are really thinking about creating Brave Spaces in an interdisciplinary manner, and one that's not limited to specific generations or specific iterations of even social justice engagement.
There are so many cool activists who are on the ground in Baltimore doing really great things, creating Brave Spaces in our city. And the one that comes to mind is a group that will be part of CSJ Week, which is Force, Updating Rape Culture. So they are doing some really important activist work that supports survivors of sexual assault and giving them a public place to share their stories and to minimize the taboo-ness that we have around sexual assault. And so we'll be having the opportunities for students and UMBC community members to contribute to their monument quilts. We'll have quilt-making opportunities throughout the day on Wednesday at one of our events. And so I really love the intersection that UMBC is able to bring in regards to connecting us with other really great partners who are doing important work, so that it's not just within my community here at UMBC and what does that look like in regards to activism, but giving them role models of other great organizations and being able to bring those intersections together.
You know, I know, Lisa, you talked about events for people who might just be coming to this, who don't have a lot of experience about this. They're interested. They want to learn more. They want to jump into learning about social justice. But, you know, what is the hope for people who might just stumble upon, like, tabling on Main Street or an event that they happen to walk by, who maybe have heard of social justice, are a little afraid of it, don't know what it means, aren't sure if they kind of represent, you know, the politics that come with it, or don't know if it's for them? Like, what is the hope for people who just stumble upon this for the first time?
My hope is that we demystify what social justice is and really kind of take it out of the, only certain people of, say, underrepresented groups or who look a certain way or have a certain life experience can do social justice work. It's really about all of us, one person at a time, one community at a time, one issue at a time, doing whatever we can do with whatever resources we have available to us in our spheres of influence. So it's about all of us, really. So that's what my hope is, that people who are new to this just kind of walk away with the understanding is, you know, we're trying to help you connect your head and your heart enough that you kind of get to this place where it's not just theoretical and intellectual social justice. It's about, this is how we can live our lives. This is how we can create real change in ourselves and in our communities that is lasting and that is going to make this home called our planet just a little bit better for all of us to be living on.
Lots of events that kind of engage people at different levels in social justice. So one of the ones in particular that I want to mention is Critical Social Justice 101 or CSJ 101. And this year we're actually doing something new. We're trying a fishbowl conversation, which I think is really exciting because the way the dynamics work, it allows for like the start of this conversation where we're going to be talking about creating brave spaces. In particular, we're going to be talking about that with several people who have been invited to speak about it. And then we're going to open up the conversation for anybody to just sort of go ahead and talk about what creating brave spaces means to them. Once they get sort of that little sampler idea of what it means, then we really invite people to kind of come in and be like, oh, wait, I kind of do that when any time right now at Thanksgiving dinner, I did that. So I think that's like a really exciting new sort of engagement that we're going to be trying as well.
That it's not just the experts who have things to say, but that all of us have things to say. And even if you're not sure how to say it, is giving even just a platform to kind of start parsing that out, putting kind of that power in naming of even giving some words to think about, this is something I experience every day, but now I have the name for it. So really being able to kind of help students, and not just students, but faculty and staff too, kind of get there and figure out what that looks like for them.
I think it's interesting, too, that there's this conversation around pedagogy and teaching social justice, and it reminds me of this, I guess, something that's sort of between a comment and a demand that comes up a lot on the Mark Steiner Show and on different public affairs programs on WEAA. When we have conversations around race and gender, we're looking at things that are happening out in the world. A lot of times our guests have said things like competency around race and gender and sexuality is something that really should be taught in schools in some way. Like, no one should leave a university setting and not know how to talk about these things or still be uncomfortable talking about it. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you think about that and how you think that this might contribute to that in some way.
I think that's a really good point. And I come from a gender women's studies background as well, and it absolutely changed my way of viewing the entire world around me, not just when it was strictly related to gender. And I know that a lot of students don't have that opportunity if they don't take GWST classes. And so what we're really seeing, and hopefully with the pedagogy panel, but even just the other ways that we're trying to engage our campus partners in these conversations, is really thinking about social justice as not, again, as Lisa was saying, not limited to one specific identity, but also not limited to one specific discipline. That it can be a matter of, and someone gave this example the other day, of a math teacher doing a word problem on the board and giving the example of, like, so if a woman and her partner are driving to Brazil and they are going this many miles an hour, even doing that is a way of disrupting the way people have these sort of normative ideas of what things look like. And so even a math classroom, a science classroom, the way we have conversations is connected to social justice, not just the content of the conversations themselves. And so we're trying to really create some opportunities for those different entry points for faculty and staff, as well as for students.
Yeah, and I mean, also just speaking again from the student's perspective and from the perspective of a leader of the Critical Social Justice Student Alliance that I created, we have students in there who are like math students, visual arts majors, and it's really interesting for them to come into this space and learn more about themselves as like intersectional people who, you know, aren't really limited to the fact that they're a math economics major or the fact that they want to go into film, but that they want to have sort of this social justice voice. And that's been really great to be able to provide that space for people to have these discussions on social justice, even though they don't necessarily have the language or they don't normally come into these conversations. But I know a lot of people who have been coming into the Social Justice Student Alliance meetings and have just been like, wow, this is great. And I'm glad that I can really add to this conversation because I don't normally get this. And we saw that a lot after everything in Ferguson. A lot of people were like, I don't know where to put like my voice. And I really need an outlet for this because I don't know how to think about these things. So I think like a lot of the programming that CSJ offers even year round does that, but also the student org. And I know there are other efforts on campus to offer this space for talking about it. It's really exciting to see like people from all across the campus get involved.
I think our hope has always been that critical social justice isn't just a week, even though we have a really great week of programming, but it really serves as our roadmap for the rest of the year. As staff members, we have the great opportunity to, that's what we do. We build platforms for students to be able to find their voice. And so it's not that they don't know what they want to talk about or that they, it's being able to give those venues. And I really hope that critical social justice extends beyond just the week, but really starts giving students and faculty and staff this roadmap of, well, this was really great to have it in this one week. Why don't we have it all year long? And here's this one roadmap that's going to give us directions and giving us some guidance to figure out how we can be having these conversations every day of the year at UMBC and beyond.
What's really going to be wonderful to see is how we as a community can practice doing what Francesca Ramsey in her video, Just Stop Talking About Race, gets at. And that is, you know, you can't change something that you're not willing to talk about. So if we can practice the talking, the dialogue, the exchange of these ideas, concepts around social justice, the chances of actually having some real change result from it increases. And so if no one leaves the week without doing anything but understanding that I can now talk about this, and so as a result, I can act, that's going to be huge. And I think that would be a wonderful shift to see either, you know, just a few students, let alone, the whole campus. That would be ideal, of course, the whole campus to just shift into action from talking and engaging around dialogue. But even if just a few folks get started on that journey, I think we will feel that this is a success.
I want to give a big thanks to Lisa Gray, Jess Myers, Megan Tagley-Adams, and Amelia Meeman for taking the time to talk to me. And a reminder, the Women's Center with Student Life's Mosaic Center present the Critical Social Justice 2015 keynote lecture with comedian and vlogger Francesca Cheska Lee Ramsey. She'll be discussing your powerful online voice, social media for social change, this Wednesday night, February 18th at 7 p.m. in the UMBC University Center Ballroom, 1000 Hilltop Circle in Catonsville. This event is open to the public. More information about the keynote and other great programming happening at UMBC during Critical Social Justice Week at critsocjustice.wordpress.com and at womencenter.umbc.edu. I'm Stephanie Mavronis for The Mark Steiner Show. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And on our way to break here on The Mark Steiner Show, it's Straight No Chaser by the great Thelonious Monk, who passed away on this day in 1982.